All right, this is Mr. Nick Turnham, part three. Here we go, sir.
All right, well, my mother and I lived back on that place by ourselves. We had no electricity. Of course, butane wasn't even in then. And everything was cooked on a wood stove, and our heat was on a wood heater. We didn't have a fireplace. And I can remember things that happened to us or happened to me. During the wintertime, even though I went to school and had to come home after school, I did lots of, during December, January, and February, I trapped. And I caught lots of possums, numerous coons, a mink every once in a while, and a ringtail cat every once in a while. I can remember I was a trapper, and when you were in kids and you were big time because you were a trapper, but I caught numerous possums. And of course, I understand now that the kids or people who trap, they just put the dead animal in a freezer and freeze him and then sell him as a whole animal to the fur buyers. But back then, you skin the animal and you cured the hide, and then the fur buyer would come through probably usually the 1st of March, and he would buy all the furs, and you'd take them into North Sioux, and he would buy everything you had. I'll never forget, I caught a perfect mink one time, and I got $10 for him.
Oh, wow, that's a lot of money.
I caught him down on Sassafras Lake. A possum would usually bring you 25 to 35 cents. A coon, a real, real good coon hide, you could get $2.50 for him. A ringtail, you could get about $5. Now, one of the highlights of my mother and I's, well, it was a highlight, not one of them, it was the highlight. We would walk up to the Joneses on Saturday afternoon after we came back from let me back up. When we'd go to the store on Saturdays, we would ride with the Joneses in the wagon to North Sioux. We would buy our supplies. Mother would buy them, and the supplies didn't amount to a whole lot except like meat, cornmeal, and coffee and sugar, because we raised and canned everything that you ate. You bought no fresh meat at all because you had no way of keeping it. And in fact, the grocery stores didn't even have a meat counter. It was strictly dry good. So the Joneses would take us all the way back home in our wagon. And then a lot of times on Saturday night, Mother and I would walk up to the Joneses' house, and we would all sit around in the family room listening to a battery-powered radio to the Grand Ole Opry. Mm-hmm. That was a big, big thing for us. Then, I don't remember what year it was, Daddy bought and had erected on our place right next to the house a wind charger. Now, I have never talked to anyone else who's ever had one. It looked like a miniature windmill. It was about 12 foot high, and it had a generator on it. And when the wind would turn that blade, generate electricity, had a car battery, and we had the cables running into the house, and we ran our radio off of the car battery. And the car battery was charged up by that wind charger. It had a generator on it. And, of course, if the wind didn't blow, you didn't listen to the radio because the battery would be down. That was just one of the things. But I remember that. And I also want to remember the way we kept our food from, say, from lunch until dinner, which back then it was from dinner to supper.
Right.
Wasn't any such thing as lunch. It was dinner at around noon and supper that night. But we had a cooler, and the cooler was made out of sheet metal. And it stood about 3 feet, maybe 3.5 feet high, and probably about 2 foot square. And it had shelves on it. And then on the outside of it, right around the bottom, was a, I guess for lack of a better word, a trough, metal trough, that you kept water in, and you put muslin cloth hanging around that, all the way around that device, that cooler, and with the cloth into the water, and by osmosis, the water would go up that cloth, and any breeze you had to keep your food.
Huh.
It's amazing what human nature could do.
Well,
but that's that. Everybody had those.
I've
everybody.
Never heard of such a thing.
And that. Now, it didn't work like a refrigerator.
Right.
But it
didn't spoil.
No, it didn't spoil. That's
so
right.
So the muslin just wicked up the water.
The muslin wicked up the water.
The breeze would
and
fan it.
That's something, when you're speaking of muslin, that's something else I have to mention. I don't know if you ever knew this or if you remember it or not. You don't remember. But the main food that you fed your hogs was scraps. And then you bought shorts. That was the name of shorts, S-H-O-R-T-S. And shorts and flour both came in floury cotton bags. Mother made your shorts out of those bags. Women, girls, bloomers, and dresses were made out of those short bags or the flower bag sacks. And what they were printed muslin, and that's what they used to make the bags would come in various flowery designs. And if you didn't have enough, well, next time you bought shorts, well, you'd buy one
match
the pattern.
Yeah,
so you'd have the same thing. And women folks made that.
But not much was wasted back in those days.
Wasn't anything wasted. It really wasn't. Now, I can never, I'll put it this way. The only time you got to listen to the radio, because the batteries didn't last long, and then after we got the wind charger, it seemed like to me that even though the wind charger would charge up our battery, if the wind didn't blow, and like in summertime or something like that, you just didn't get to listen to the radio. But I remember when Pearl Harbor, which was on a Sunday, I was really, really upset at Sunday afternoon. And what I was upset about was not Pearl Harbor being bombed, but I could not listen to my radio program that afternoon because the news was on. The Pearl Harbor didn't mean anything to a 10-year-old kid particularly, but it meant that I couldn't listen. And I don't remember for sure if it was the Green Hornet or Lone Ranger that
some
I missed
story that was
on that Sunday afternoon, but I didn't get to listen to it. Now,
do you remember your dad talking about Pearl Harbor?
See, Dad wasn't at home
or
at that time.
Or your mom or anybody?
Yes,
scared or any comments or
memories? Yes, they were all scared, and I can remember after that wave after wave of airplanes flying over our place, traveling. Best I can remember would be like from east to west, just wave after wave after wave of planes. And Mother and them would say, that's Army planes, you know. And see, there was no Air Force at that time. The Air Force was under the Army. But That was my recollection of Pearl Harbor. Not that the bombing, but I couldn't get to listen to my radio program that
well,
afternoon.
That's a kid, you know.
That was just, and now, as I said a while ago, we had no fresh beef. Maybe once a year somebody would kill a beef where you would get a piece, but you didn't buy any meat. We ate chicken, we ate fish, and we ate pork, and we ate squirrel, and we ate rabbit. Now that was our meat. Now, all of our chickens were yard chickens. And Mama would say, get that pullet or get that young rooster right there. And I would, we had a long wire with a hook on the end of it, and I could hook his feet, and I'd catch the chicken, give it to Mother, she'd wring its neck. And then she would put it in hot water and pick the feathers. I fished all the time in Sassafras Lake or in the Navasota River, and caught a lot of catfish, a few white perch, but we ate a lot of fish. I had my own squirrel dog. I'll never forget it. His name was Buck, and he could tree squirrels, and he could run coons at night. We'd take him coon hunting, and we ate squirrel all the time. If they were young squirrel, Mother fried it. If it was an old squirrel, she smothered it. We had fried chicken real often, and we also had smothered chicken. If, you know, Mother made chicken and dumplings, large chicken, make best dumplings there ever was. And then we had fish. But that was our meat. We did.
You have a garden?
Oh, yes, and canned everything in the world. And when we're speaking about, let me tell you about that. First, let me tell you this. The first hard freeze of every year, we killed hogs. Do you need to wait a minute?
No, keep going. I'm listening to you.
Yeah, we killed
Why
hogs.
Why didn't you wait till the freeze?
Because then meat wouldn't spoil.
Oh, duh. Yeah.
But anyway, you'd kill a hog, and the way you, I don't know if you're familiar with it, you did not skin hogs.
You scraped them.
You scraped them.
I know a little bit.
Before you scraped them, you had to pour, they had to be in hot water, and that would loosen the hair, and then you scraped them. And then you gutted the hog, and then you cut them up, and the backbones, that was something that you ate right then. Mother would always boil those, and I know you'd have the fresh pork on the backbones and that sort. You had every home had a smokehouse. You put the hams and you put the bacon in the smokehouse. Now, back then, there were several ways, but the fancy way of curing it was sugar cured. It was a brown sugar that you rubbed on the hams, and then you put it in the smokehouse, and you literally smoked it until it wouldn't spoil. And then you wrapped it up. Mother always wrapped the hams and the bacon in muslin and stacked it in the smokehouse. And long about March, when you were eating bacon, it got pretty rancid. Now, it really did. And she'd fry bacon, go out in the smokehouse, and unwrap it, and cut it, and that'd be your bacon or your ham, and you could smell it pretty bad, but it wasn't spoiled, and that's what you ate. We ate worlds of pork all during the winter. Now, when I say, let me say something about the pork, I just thought of it. Everybody had hogs. When you got through gathering the corn in the fall, everybody on the Navasot River turned their hogs loose. And they went to the bottom and they ate acorns. And then every spring, and before you would turn your sows loose, everybody had a special earmark, like two notches or undercut, overcut, and this sort of thing. All right, and then in the spring, just before you started planting corn, you would go to the bottom on horseback and dogs, and you'd round up these hogs. Well, the way you separated them, you knew the old sows because they were marked. And those pigs and shoats, young ones, would go with her. All right, those are our hogs. This is the Jones's hogs. This is so-and-so hogs. And then you pin the hogs up then because you were planting corn and that sort of thing.
But then they just drove them back with their place?
You had dogs.
Uh-huh. The dogs helped you just get them back to
get them back up, and you put them in the pen. But you turned them loose every winter after you killed your hogs. Actually, you turned them loose before you killed your hogs. You saved the ones you were going to kill, kept them in a pen. You turned the others loose, and they went to the bottom. And see, they ate acorns. They could get fat on acorns. Acorns was great for hogs. And see, back then, there was no deer in Madison County at all.
Really?
No, ma'am.
Why not?
No deer.
Wonder why.
Mother had turkeys and chickens and guineas. Now, the reason why you had guineas was because of snakes. Guineas would warn you of a snake. We always kept two or three guineas, but I don't know if you're familiar with guineas,
yeah.
But the eggs, you could put the guinea eggs in a hen nest, and the chicken snake swallowed the guinea egg, he couldn't crack it. And it would actually kill him because the eggs were so tough, he couldn't crack the shell, and it would eventually kill him. I have put glass doorknobs in the chicken nest, and the gut snake kill them, swallow them, and it would kill them. But anyway, there was no deer at all, none. I can remember, and I don't remember when it was. I remember it very distinctly. The state of Texas hauling deer in to the Navasot Bottom and dropping them off, so to get them started. Now there's more deer in Madison County than ever placed. But there was no deer at all when I was a kid. None, none whatsoever. Now there were a few wild turkeys. I will say this: Mother had turkeys. Every once in a while, there would be a wild turkey come up the turkeys would come in back to the house at night to roost. There would be a wild turkey come in with them.
I bet that was a sight, wasn't
it? It was. And of course, very wild. The word wild, when they'd come up and you'd walk out, boy, they would fly off. But no deer. But so the hogs got fat on acres.
And now we have problems with Russian boar, Russian hogs, feral hogs.
I guess that was one of the sources of feral hogs, because when we got hogs in every spring, when you round them up, you could, a lot of the hogs, I know, they would swim, they would be on the other side of the Navasot River. We'd have to go over into Brazos County and get hogs. In fact, there was a little place over there we called Hog Island, and you couldn't get them all, and there was few left. And
yeah.
I guess that was one of the beginnings of the feral
hog. So it's your fault we're dealing with wild hogs now.
No, yeah, yeah, that's right. One other thing.
You want to wrap this one up?
Let me tell this.
Okay.
I told you how Mother kept the food. Well, I don't know when it was, but I can remember it. I was still in Budnick School, and we still lived down on the 320 acres. Mother and I were by ourselves. Daddy bought and brought it home a Servel refrigerator. Now, most people, do you know what a Servel refrigerator was?
Unless it was an ice box, I have no idea.
Well, it was a refrigerator, but a Servel refrigerator ran off of natural gas.
Oh.
You had a pilot light, and I don't know the workings of it, but he brought the Servel refrigerator home. We had no electricity. We had no gas. But he bought the Servel refrigerator home, and you pulled the bottom of it open, and there was a kerosene tank. And we put 5 gallons of kerosene in it every Saturday. And it was a refrigerator just like we have today.
It was life-changing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it was more than life. You can't believe.
I wonder what it costs.
I don't know. But see, I don't think that there's even a gas refrigerator anymore. But I'll tell you, when we got butane, they just changed the orifice in it and hooked butane on it, and it was a butane refrigerator then.
So it was a gas refrigerator that was fueled by kerosene.
That's exactly
initially,
right.
And later by propane.
Yes. Well, no, butane.
Butane. I'm sorry. I remember the butane.
Yeah. But none of our neighbors had a kerosene refrigerator, and you can imagine what I mean. We
Did
kept
you come to see it?
Oh yeah. And you had the little ice trays up at the top in the middle.
Would it freeze the ice?
Yes.
Well, I'll be. And that was approximately what? How old were you then? Approximately.
Oh, I don't know. It was. Well, let me see. I was before. I was probably 12 years. No, 11 years. 10 or 11.
So early
years
40s. Ago.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And see, I have never run into anybody that ever had a kerosene refrigerator.
And it was called Servel.
That was the brand name, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll do some research on that.
Servel. I believe that was the brand name, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, y'all were living on high cotton then.
Oh, you're not kidding. We still didn't have a car.
But your food didn't spoil.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, let's wrap this one up, and we'll start on another one here in just a minute.